on radio, on YouTube, streaming live on investtalk.com, and for our podcast subscribers. This is Invest Talk, independent thinking, shared success. Invest Talk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. Here is KPP Financial portfolio manager, Luke Guerrero.
Good afternoon, fellow investors, and welcome back to Invest Talk. I'm your host, Luke Guerrero, on this beautiful Thursday, June 5th, 2025. Not only was today beautiful, at least where I am in the world, but boy, was it interesting. For those of you who are not as terminally online as Justin and myself, we will dig into why today was a fascinating day in the markets, a big reversal after some choppy trading, and a public spat intensified. And when we have this level of uncertainty, when we have these types of changes all around us that we cannot truly predict, that drive market activity, it becomes more important than ever to have a disciplined focus and understanding of how to construct your portfolio, of how to diversify your portfolio, of how to invest your money. And so we here at Invest Talk hope that we are a small part of bringing a little bit more understanding to your life, a small part to helping make you a better and more informed investor. And in order to do that, we bring some educational items, we bring some actionable items. We got a great one on how to tap into your home equity today. But most importantly, we answer your finance and investment questions, be it through voicemail, over there on our iTunes review section, over there on our YouTube channel, or live throughout the show. Now, in just a bit, we'll talk about today's market performance and run down those show topics. But first, we're going to go to Jeff from Kansas, who's the first caller of the day. How can we help you, Jeff?
Yeah, I was calling about JPST, Jeff, Paul, Stanley, Tom. I understand that it's an ultra short income ETF, probably bond based, but it really seems to have this pattern where it goes up through the course of the month, and at the end of the month, on the last day of the month, drops. And I'm trying to understand that pattern, and I think it's probably associated with dividends, but I was calling to kind of confirm that.
So that is exactly what it is. So it is owning bonds, right? It's an ultra short income ETF. It's a broad market bond fund from JP Morgan. It's got about 18 basis points in management fees. And it does what bond funds do. Take a look at ESCF, right? Ultra short, 0 to 3 month U.S. Treasury ETF. Same thing. Price goes up over the month. Price goes out when they pay out that coupon, that dividend. Same thing happens with stocks, albeit not as frequently, right? If you have a stock that has a quarterly dividend, when that dividend hits, that cash is gone from that company. Stock price goes down. And that is why it is critical to not look at price return, but actually total return. Because if you just look at a price return, you're missing out on one of the big, big, big sources of return, not just for bonds, the primary source of return for bonds, but also a big source of return for equities as well. So yes, when you see this type of thing happen, this monthly cycle where it appreciates or maybe goes down, then goes down a little bit more or goes down more at the end of the month, it is because of that income being paid out in the form of dividends. Thanks for the call. Now, we've got a lot of ground to cover in the next 45 minutes or so, and here's a little bit of what we have planned for you all. My main focus point concerns this topic: what homeowners need to know before borrowing against home equity. Experts start with advice to carefully compare lenders and understand both the pros and the cons of home equity loans and HELOCs before borrowing against their home's value. Also, we'll touch on how Trump's tariffs thus far have caused little inflation, so we'll dive into those dynamics and discuss why. We'll also touch on the effect on companies and on the U.S. economy of the recent crackdown on foreign students. And should we have time at the end of the show, we'll touch on how big investors are shifting more and more away from U.S.-based assets. Also, we have some voice bank questions ready to play, including one on investing in large and small cap stocks in the current market environment, and another on a ticker PCTY, which is Paylocity Holdings Corp. But most importantly, and we already got one from Jeff, I hope to hear from more of you live throughout the show at 888-99-CHART. We're going to head into a break, and on the other side, we'll talk briefly about today's market activity, but most importantly, once again, answer more of your questions here on Invest Talk.
Serious investors are certain to have finance and investment questions.
Hello, Invest Talk. This is Jose from New York, and I'm looking into buying a small position in Dollar Tree or Dollar General.
And the best person to ask your question in the right way is you.
Hi, Invest Talk. I was calling in with a question on the stock Nike.
And 24/7, rain or shine, Justin Klein and Luke Guerrero stand ready to provide their unbiased answers.
Now, it is up into a little bit of resistance, so you probably want a little bit of consolidation here.
So this company does not capitalize itself with equity. It does not capitalize itself with debt.
Your participation makes InvestTalk better.
Let's play a caller question from 888-99-CHART.
This is James from Georgia. I was trying to call about ticker symbol SCCO.
So don't forget to call InvestTalk.
I appreciate the show, guys. Thank you.
888-99-CHART. The InvestTalk phone lines never close. And now Luke Guerrero is here taking your calls live. InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
We already dove into our first live caller question of the day. So let's talk a little bit about what happened in the market. U.S. stocks broadly lower, Dow down 25 basis points, S&P 500 down 53, the NASDAQ down 83, Russell 2000 barely negative on the day, down 5 basis points, but it was pretty choppy. At one point, the market was up after some relief in the wake of a call between the President of the United States and the President of China, but it turned back downward, ending a bit off of worst levels of the day. And that is on the back of three straight days of gains for the S&P 500. Now, in spite of this, major indices still remain on track for small to modest weekly gains. But diving into the sectors, big tech mixed, Tesla, the notable underperformer. If you haven't heard about it, we'll talk about why in a second. Other underperformers included HPCs, staple retailers, casual diners, managed care, and casinos. Outperformers included software, IBs, refiners, copper and aluminum names, medtech, and cruise lines. On the bond side, treasuries mostly weaker. The dollar index was flat, down against the euro and sterling, but up against the yen. Gold finished down 70 basis points. Crude oil, the opposite way, up 80 basis points. But the big story wasn't the conversation between Trump and Xi, albeit that's probably what the White House wanted it to be. The top story was instead the very public conversation between the president and his former top advisor, Elon Musk. The rift that has been building on the back of what appears to be Elon's disagreement with One Big Beautiful Bill and how it will explode the deficit has moved more into a public forum with personal jabs being thrown back and forth. Elon retweeting old posts about President Trump not believing that there should be large deficits. The president saying that he's considering canceling all contracts with Elon's companies. And at one point, Tesla was down over 17%. And the rest of the market didn't like it because the market doesn't like the idea of the president settling personal scores by potentially harming public companies. Now, that wasn't the only news, right? We did get a few headlines around reconciliation, the Senate looking more and more like it's not going to be able to pass the House version of the bill. So there might be some changes coming down the pike there. On the economic front, U.S.'s trade deficit narrowed significantly month over month, though it's important to note. It narrowed significantly because of all the rush to import goods in March before tariffs. Weekly initial jobless claims came in. Rose more than expected to 247,000 this month from the consensus of, 239 is what was expected. Q1 labor productivity revised notably lower from the flash reading, with unit labor costs revised upward. Not much noteworthy from the meeting at the White House today between the president and the chancellor of Germany. And outside the U.S., the European Central Bank cut rates by 25 basis points, though that was expected. Now, looking ahead, Friday brings May's unemployment report. Non-farm payrolls expected to increase 125,000 following the 177,000 gain in May. Unemployment rate expected to hold steady at 4.2. Average hourly earnings seen up 30 basis points, but we'll dive into those numbers tomorrow. Let's keep things moving and play a fresh caller question from 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Justin and Luke. I was interested in purchasing some Flowserve Corporation, ticker symbol FLS, and I would like to get your opinion on it. Thank you.
Alrighty, let's take a look at FLS. It is an industrial machinery company. It specializes in fluid motion and control products and services, specifically within the air, liquid, and gas control equipment space. Recently, they had announced a merger, a definitive agreement to merge with Chart Industries in an all-stock transaction, a $19 billion deal. And let's see how the stock price reacted from there. Looks like they decided to completely change how this looks. It's the first time I'm looking at this. Anyway, so the stock was, looks like up on the day, albeit just slightly up on the day. Oh, I'm sorry, down 49 basis points on the day. One thing that is of note is there is a shareholder investigation. Following the merger announcement, a couple of law firms initiated investigations into the fairness of the merger terms. And after closing up on the third, we see it's down a little bit today. One benefit here is a synergy of combined companies, right? If we see two companies that are combining here, offer cost savings, offer more streamlined efficiency within the business, and that could be really beneficial to shareholders should the merger go through. Now, from a balance sheet perspective, it looks like it's got $1.6 billion of debt on a $6.1 billion market cap company, solid dividend of 1.77%. Their cash flow is improving. Their profitability is improving. Their valuation, a little high, right? Their forward-looking price to earnings, I think, is sitting at around 20 times, which is a little bit expensive compared to where you would see industrial companies, especially right now. And from a momentum perspective, it really was having a rough time coming into April on a downward trend from January down into May, then a little bit of an upward trend on the back of what I expected were earnings, and then an upward move after the announcement and downward today again. It looks to me like this is a company that's pretty solid balance sheet. Cash flow looks good. Profitability is decent, right? The return on assets is about 5% is what it looks like. So it's not anything stellar, but they're in a really good position in terms of their balance sheet. They also pay a solid dividend. Again, cash flow looking better. Relative strength dipping. I think when you have companies that have mergers like this, the market takes a while to digest what it means for both of these companies. And for a company that was already in a downtrend, I don't think right now is the time to buy in. So if you're interested in Flowserve, ticker FLS, I would keep it on my watch list for now. Wait to learn a little bit about the reasons behind this merger, the outcome of if this is a frivolous litigation or if this is a real concern for the core of the business, and to find some support for potentially another leg upward. That is ticker FLS, Flowserve Corporation. Now, one thing I do want to mention, and we did mention it, I would say just about every day this week, is we over here at InvestTalk decided to open up a merch shop, because who does not like merch? And this isn't a great enterprise for us to make a bunch of money. We don't charge that much relative to what it costs us to make these clothes. But we feel as though, for all of our loyal listeners, if you're interested and you want a shirt, if you want a hat, if you want a bucket hat, you can get one of these shirts just like the one I'm wearing if you're watching over there on YouTube. Well, we wanted to provide you the opportunity to rep InvestTalk in your hometowns. And if you're interested in any of that, go over to investtalkstore.com. You can see a broad array of offerings. We're excited to have you show that you're part of the InvestTalk family. Now we're moving into a break. We've already tackled two questions so far today. We went over the market. So still to come is my main focus point. Three topics of, I would say, keen interest in the market today, and hopefully more live calls. I encourage you to call now. InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
...2025 rolls on, and you might have some fresh questions for Justin or Luke. Call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Our story today, applicable to, I would say, a lot of you, I hope, and that is about what homeowners need to know before borrowing against their home equity. Because when you take out a loan, not just a loan against your home, a loan against any asset, an unsecured loan, anything, there's some tips and tricks, that is, that can help you put yourself in a better position. Now, this is important because when you think about credit cards and personal loans, what comes to mind? For me, steep rates. Credit card interest rates as much as 30%, the average being north of 20 now. Personal loans in the tens. And so for some people, taking out a home equity line of credit, or a HELOC, as we will refer to it from now on, are cost-effective ways to access cash. Now, the average homeowner, the average home, this year has about $313,000 in equity. And so homeowners have this untapped source of cash in an asset sitting on their balance sheet. Now, when you're thinking about taking out a HELOC, just as with thinking about doing anything within the financial industry, any financial product, they tend to hit you with a promotional rate. So that's the first thing to think about. Yes, this is my rate for the first 6 months. It could be as low as 5.99 right now, significantly lower than what you see in credit card and personal loans. But what am I going to pay after that? Understand what your cash outlook is for the life of this loan. But because of these promotional periods, what does that mean? Well, it means that HELOCs can be of great use for short-term upgrades. Now, with any loan, really with anything, if you're buying a shirt, if you're going to buy a car, what do? You shop around. So you're going to want to compare at least three different lenders. Doing so, maybe even pitting them against each other, can actually lower rates by as much as 1%. And when you're talking about potentially $100,000 here, maybe more, maybe a little less, every percentage point, every basis point matters. Now, when you're thinking about this, understand that there's a cost here. The interest payments you make are a cost if you take out a HELOC. So only do it for good reasons. What are some good reasons? Boosting your home's value, utility savings, putting a bunch of cash outlay to save more on the back end, upgrading your HVAC system, more energy efficient windows, maybe solar panels on the roof to lower your electricity. Again, things that lower your costs or raise the value of the home. You also might want to think about setting up a HELOC proactively. Even if you don't need the funds now, having one in place gives you flexible access to low interest cash for future needs. It's also important to note that most HELOCs, a lot of HELOCs, are variable interest rates. So if the Fed cuts rates, what does that mean? Well, that means that your interest rate on the loan will go down. Now, understand the risk. If rates go up, what happens? Opposite way, you can't get the good end without the bad end. So understand what that looks like. But as always, being responsible is the most important thing. Don't take out a loan on your house because you really want to go on that vacation. Don't take out a loan on your house just to take on more debt in order to buy a car. Don't take out a loan on your house for frivolous reasons. Understand that this is a big financial obligation, and you're doing it on perhaps the largest asset that you own, but also the asset that you live in. Responsible use matters. So to sum it up, speak to at least three lenders in order to get some different rates. check for all the fees, all the hidden fees, all the terms. Maybe work with an advisor or a mortgage pro who understands these types of products. And balance those short-term savings with the long-term financial gains. Alrighty, let's roll another question in now. This one on mid or small cap stocks.
Hello, it's Jordan from Minnesota. I'm just wondering, in today's market environment, if you'd recommend investing in large cap, mid cap, or small cap stocks, or if you'd kind of do a mix of all three. Thanks. Appreciate everything you do.
Large, mid, and small cap stocks. So we're covering the whole shebang here, if you will. And so I think this question is in two, I think there's two different answers here. Historically speaking, small companies tend to outperform mid-cap companies that tend to outperform large-cap companies. Why? It's because investors tend to demand more return for higher risk, and smaller names are riskier than larger names. I like to give the example that if I go out to take a loan, Warren Buffett goes out to take a loan, I'm probably going to get a higher interest rate, I imagine, or the person who's underwriting the loan is not doing their job. Now, that means that if you have a long investment horizon, times where maybe in the short term, small caps are underperforming, they're more negative than large caps, can be for somebody who's investing for a decade or beyond a great time to pick it up. But in this type of environment where interest costs are rising, yields are trending upward, though they are down today on the back of the potential for the big, beautiful bill not to pass. In an environment where capital is more expensive, where money isn't free, large caps do tend to do a little bit better. And so if you're thinking about the short term, I would be more tilted towards large caps. It doesn't mean not be invested in small and mid caps, but it means understand how the market dynamics are affecting things in the three different time frames over which we invest, short, medium, and long. Either way, the best type of strategy is a well-diversified strategy. On the next Invest Talk, we'll look into this topic. Some Americans are shifting their summer plans to avoid tariff price hikes. That's tomorrow, but for now, I'm Luke Guerrero, ready to take your calls at 888-99-CHART.
Have you heard about the new InvestTalk store? That's right, you'll find great merch for the savvy investor. It's all there for you now at investtalkstore.com. Luke Guerrero is here now, taking your finance and investment questions live. Call InvestTalk 888-99-CHART.
Justin, Luke, Chuck from Clayton, great show. Got a question about Paylocity Holding Corp, all Charles Tom Yellow, PCTY, like a payroll company. They look like they make money every year. Going to take a little step back this year, but then back up to another $7 a share next year. Nothing but positive on this thing. But look at the price over the last few years, going back 10-ish. It's really jumped high, then dropped low, then jumped high and dropped low. And I'm not sure why it bounces like that. So think about getting a little investment in it, and wanted to hear your guys' thoughts. Thanks again. Great show.
Let's take a look at Paylocity Holdings Corp, that is ticker PCTY. During the break, I was fortunate enough to figure out how to change back the weird changes that FactSet had decided to make intraday and that I was not familiar with, so this should go a little bit smoother for this question. Paylocity is an HR software solutions company, so they do payroll, trying to streamline and automate HR. So the goal here is your value add to businesses. Well, it makes it a little bit cheaper to manage your employees and pay them. They serve over 39,000 clients across various industries in the United States. Looking back at earnings from Q3 of 2025, it's fiscal Q3. Well, they beat. They surpassed analyst expectations on revenue for the quarter, and they had a 77% increase. Their gross profit margin of 77% was an increase of about 1.1% over the previous year. So you saw positive returns and you saw growth in gross margin as well. Now, from a revenue perspective, you do see some solid growth over the past 5-6 years when a lot of companies have been investing in their HR infrastructure. 24.6% revenue growth on an annualized basis, though most of that seems to have been coming out of the pandemic, right? You're seeing it slow down. Now, growth from 2023 into 2024, that was actually pretty solid. That was over 20%, but coming into this year, not so much. A lot slower growth, closer to about 10%. Net income in that time up 30% on an annualized basis. Again, didn't slow down much. Looks like it's up another, 50 plus percent-ish year over year is where it's projected to be. Actually, almost 100% year over year. Now, their debt, not much to speak of. It's got $46 million in debt on an $11 billion market cap company. And in that time, what has been driving that growth is expanding to new customers that they primarily serve within the United States. You don't really have much tariff risk here, right? It's a software as a service business, primarily serving customers in the US. Margins, solid. Low tens, projected to be 25% net margin next year. And they do have earnings coming up at the end of July. Over the past year, they're up 39.84%, down about 2.68% year to date though. Year to date, they are underperforming their industry by about 10%. And one of the reasons why could be because it was very expensive. 27.2 times forward-looking earnings is where it is with that drawdown. Take a look at what this change in sentiment is. The topical looks like their market share is falling as well. And that's something they talked about in the most recent earnings call. And when this sentiment turns negative, well, that affects bottom line growth. That's the problem with a lot of HR payroll software companies is the market is flooded right now. And so 91% of its business comes from that HR software. And so for Paylocity, with that slowing revenue growth, with them mentioning their slowing client growth, their shrinking market share, well, that's driven the price down over the past couple months. But back down to a slightly more reasonable, that is, valuation, albeit still a little high, 27% forward-looking earnings. With that being said, with this overall downward trend, let's take a look at it over the past 3 months. It's not the right chart. We're just going to ignore that. Go back to this company thing right here. We look at its relative strength. It's fallen since, say, about 2025, pretty consistently downward. Let's look at its price return really quickly before we move on at this return analysis. And this is over the past 6 months. Downward trend. Now, it started to move upward a bit, trying to find a little bit of support. But either way, from a momentum perspective, it doesn't look too stellar. They had mentioned recently about falling market share. And so at 27 times forward-looking earnings, with a total return over the past 6 months of about negative 5%, I think for now, you got to stay away from it. For now, you got to keep it on your watch list. Wait for it to turn from a technical perspective and to see some more positivity, hopefully coming out of earnings at the end of July. That is Paylocity Holdings Corp. Tough business, a lot of competition, ticker PCTY. Let's make it two in a row from 888-99-CHART.
I just said I'm in silver. I do hold two companies, EXK Endeavor and FFM for the mining. And I've been holding it for quite some time for the silver to gold catch-up trade. And I've noticed that it is doing well now, and it is pretty volatile. I'm curious, what do you guys do for your silver positions when it is rallying like this? Do you hold it and take some off the top? Do you wait for the catch-up, ratio to complete? Or are there some macro signals that you look for, and then you start getting out of it completely? Just curious how you guys play this. Just wanted to get a head start as silver is rallying the last couple of days. Thank you. Bye.
So silver has rallied a little bit, but it's still lagging behind the historical ratio of gold, right? You typically have seen this little push-pull dynamic between gold and silver, but that hasn't really happened recently. It's a little bit decoupled. It's been lagging gold for just about a year and a half now, right? Since the beginning of 2024, but that's on the back of gold's historic run-up. And so you have to understand the different dynamics between what drives gold prices and what drives silver prices. Gold prices are driven by primarily uncertainty. It's a haven asset, a hard asset that has historically, for a very long time, been used as a store of value. Silver used to be in line with that, but it's more of the industrial metal now. And so the reason why you're seeing this divergence is because you have a lot of uncertainty and downward demand pressure from an industrial base. And so that's why it's kind of lagged. Now, your question is, with the rally, what would we do? Well, we would treat silver the same way we would treat any other company we're invested in. When you are up, when things rally, it is a tried and true investment strategy to sell at the highs, buy at the lows. That is the goal. And so with any other company, you should continue to trim, continue to take profits, take off the table, further diversify into sectors that may do well in the short, medium term. Because you're right, it is incredibly volatile. Commodities are incredibly volatile. So when the going is good, take some profit. Thanks for the call. All right, let's talk a little bit about tariffs. Now, it is the consensus among economists, Fed officials, Wall Street execs, that Trump's Liberation Day tariffs will drive inflation. Median estimate is a rise of inflation of about 80 basis points in 2025. While originally the claim was that this would be a tax on foreigners, we know, as investors, that anytime additional costs happen, companies pass them along. And so why is it that if you look at the current data, like through April, personal consumption's index rose just 10 basis points month over month, suggesting there's a pretty muted impact? Well, one of the reasons why is because a lot of these tariffs have been delayed. Some sectors, like hair dryers, small appliances, they face very huge tariff burdens, mostly due to the original triple-digit rates on China, but those were pushed further down the road. The Economist actually did a study. They compared category-specific inflation rates pre- and post-tariffs, finding that every 1% of input costs due to tariffs adds about 14 basis points in excess inflation. And in line with that model, they found that prices were about 13 basis points higher than they would be thus far without Trump's tariffs. Now, there's this thing that's pass-through, right? You have PPI to CPI pass-through. Sometimes you see inflation on the producer side, and it isn't completely passed through to consumers because sometimes producers do absorb it. Sometimes exporters from other countries absorb it. The real concern comes when prices have to be risen down the road, when prices have to rise down the road. Now, for types of companies that operate on small margins, like your Costco's, like your Ralph's, your retailers, they tend to pass things on a lot more quickly than your Apple's and your high-tech technology companies. That's why it's important to look at this on a sector-by-sector breakdown. But when you're looking at the inflation data, PPI, CPI, all of this, understand that the possible effect of full implementation is not the same as the effect we're seeing now. The more and more this can gets kicked down the road, so too do the effects of what everybody suggests will be an inflationary impulse. Alrighty, let's keep things moving and get back to another caller question.
I had a question about a stock, Vodafone, Victor Ocean Delta, VOD. Wanted to know if this would be a good buy. Would appreciate any comments. Thank you.
Let's take a look at Vodafone here, ticker VOD. It's pulling up some stuff on another screen as well. Sometimes I do wish everybody could see my crazy setup. It looks like I'm driving a spaceship out here with these three massive screens. Anyway, Vodafone is a telecom services company. They serve both in Europe and ex-Europe. So about 20% of their business actually comes from Africa, 19% from the UK, and about 35% from Germany. About a $25 billion US dollar market cap company, because this is an ADR that we're talking about. And like US telecoms, they have a lot of debt, $57 billion in debt. About 1.9 was their interest coverage ratio at the end of 2024, the most recent quarter. Dipped below 1.95. I want to remind you, interest coverage ratio is a ratio of what you earn relative to what your expenses are. So it's your interest expense divided by your earnings before interest and taxes. It's essentially saying how much of your, how much can you pay of the interest expense that you have? How many times over? Sorry, it took forever for that to come out. It's been a long day. And in this case, it means that your EBIT, your interest before earnings and taxes, doesn't fully cover the interest expense of the company. That means you're very, very highly levered. But you see that in a lot of telecommunication businesses. They are very high debt businesses. Relative strength has not been great. They're on a downward trend from September until about January. Since moved a little bit more bullish, a little bit more technically positive. Big spike in May from about $9 a share to about $10.50 per share. From a cash flow perspective, well, the free cash flow is kind of all over the place. A dip projected from about $10.124 billion to about $3 billion. A lot of negatives here. Revenue down, EBITDA down, EBIT down, net income. They lost money in 2025, fiscal 2025. Assets down. Net margins, growth, but again, still lost money last year. And with all of this, they're trading at about their average forward-looking earnings over the past 5 years, which is about 10.4 relative to their average of 11.4. My guess is one of the reasons why you're interested in this business is, well, it's done pretty well year to date. And also pays a solid dividend, 4.4%, lower than what it's been over the past 5 years. But I want you to look at this performance going back to 2019. Underperformed its S&P, underperformed its industry in about half the periods, but more importantly, underperformed large cap space. And so when you're a dividend investor, like I suspect you are, you're thinking about those yields, those juicy, juicy yields. But it's not just about the income that you get, it's about the investment that you hold. And over the past 5 years, this debt-laden business, with the exception of this year, has not been a good investment for me in this kind of environment. Too much debt on its balance sheet. That is ticker VOD. It is an ADR for Vodafone Group PLC. We won't have time to answer it, I don't think, but we can at least preview the question. So we're going to dive in from this question that came from Florida.
Chris from Florida here. Just had a question about Azenta Inc., A-Z-T-A. I was looking for some exposure into like healthcare and stuff, but this is also seems like it's kind of an IT small cap kind of growth. Just wondering what you thought about it. Thanks for your help and you have a great day.
All righty. Let's take a look at A-Z-T-A. We will first dive into what it does and we'll give you an answer when we come back from the break. It is classified by its revenue as a healthcare business, real deep dive analytical and bioanalytical services. Now, it's a $1.341 billion market cap company, so it certainly is a small cap name. They don't have a lot of debt, only $54 million in debt as of the most recent quarter, and they consistently buy back shares, got a 1.4% dividend yield and 10% short interest out there, meaning a lot of people are betting against this name. Year-to-date, down 43.4%, down 46.18% over the past 52 weeks. Honestly, margins negative. I don't even have to come back from the break. Haven't made money the past 4 years. Might make money this year. Poor performance. A lot of short interest. I think being in the healthcare space, looking for healthcare names, given where the sector has moved, is a good idea. I don't think this is the name. That's ticker AZTA, Azenta. When we come back, we'll get to another talking point and the last question of the day here on Invest Talk.
The calls are free. The unbiased answers are free. So what are you waiting for? Call Invest Talk 888-99-CHART.
This is Adam from St. Paul, Minnesota. Just had a question about Pinterest. Ticker symbol PINS has been beat down quite a bit and was curious to get your take on financials and at these levels if you would be looking to accumulate a position. Well, I'm curious and looking to potentially buy, so appreciate your response and hope you're having a good day. Thank you.
Take a look at Pinterest. It's a social media company. You go there, you find ideas for maybe how you want to design your room, for how you want to design your house, your backyard, any sort of visual creativity, fashion, home decor, recipes. It's a social media website. Now, it's been beat down recently, down 18% over the past 52 weeks. The reason why is they've had some problems with web traffic. Now, JP Morgan recently upgraded Pinterest stock to a target about 40 from 35. That did see a surge in volume and a surge in trading for the stock, but you can't ignore the issues that it has. Now, it's said that it wants to enhance its platform through AI-driven personal tools, but Pinterest also makes money from advertising revenue, advertising for some brands that are overseas. And if it's harder to sell in the US, their business will take a hit as well. So amongst the social media companies, there's a reason why it's been beaten down. There's a reason why it's trading only at 17 times forward-looking earnings, far below its average, near the low over the past 5 years. And so with a lot of uncertainty there, with the recent price appreciation year-to-date 16% because of the upgrades, I would be a little hesitant to buy here. I think the risks are too great. I would pass for now. That's ticker PINS, Pinterest Inc. Now, before we head off, I want to briefly touch on a Visa crackdown from the administration and the threat it is towards, potentially is, towards innovation. And that's because immigrants like the inventor of USB, founder of NVIDIA, Alphabet, Tesla, they all originally came to the US as students. This Visa crackdown, this tightening of visa policy for foreign students, including vetting social media, revoking from various countries, and banning students somewhat writ large, threatens the economic growth of the United States. Also, the optional practical training program, which is essentially once you have graduated, you can stay in the U.S. and work. That's under threat as well. In reality, immigrants authored 23% of U.S. patents. They co-founded one half of the billion-dollar businesses within the United States, so losing them could hamper the competitiveness of the U.S. going forward. And it's manifesting itself in real ways. Parents internationally are looking elsewhere to send their kids, Canada, Australia, the United Kingdom, reflecting this chilling effect of U.S. policy uncertainty. I read a story about a guy who fled war-torn Lebanon, came to the United States, worked minimum wage, paid his way through college, got a PhD, won a Nobel Prize in 2021 for discovering how the human body does the sense of touch, was working on pain research. His grant got cut. He posted about it on social media. Within 1 hour, the Chinese government called him and said, "We will fund your research for 20 years in any city that you want." And I'm not telling you this because it is political, though it is inherently political. I'm telling you this because we've been saying for quite some time, the risk here is that U.S. assets don't perform as well as international ones. And so we bring you stories to tell you and give you more reasons to look beyond the U.S. market internationally and understand some of the changes that are happening globally that can affect asset price returns going forward. This completes another InvestTalk program. Justin and I thank you for joining us and hope that you tell your friends about our podcast, your friends and family members about our free podcast downloads. Where are they? Well, they're on Google Play, they're on iTunes, they're on Spotify. And as always, if you can, if you'd be so willing, while you're over there on iTunes, please leave us a rate and review. It really helps us out. If today's show, if any show that we have, if any of our content makes you think, you know what, self, I don't feel completely comfortable about my picture. Your investments, your taxes, your retirement, is it all working? You should not wait to go to the doctor until your leg gets cut off or your leg's about to fall off. You should go for a checkup every year. And that's what we do for our clients, for our listeners at KPP. We offer no-cost portfolio reviews to help bring clarity and confidence to your financial life. If that sounds interesting, just go over to investtalk.com, click the portfolio review button. Again, it is free, no conditions. We'd love to talk to you. Independent thinking, shared success. This is InvestTalk. Good night.
InvestTalk is a trademark of KPP Financial. Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them. Specifically, nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell security. Because such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing.
InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor firm, which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Thank you for listening, and your comments and questions are welcome on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART.